The following Women's Spaces show was recorded on Monday, November 18th, 2019.
The woman in your life will do what she must do to comfort you and calm you down and let you rest now. The woman in your life, she can rest so easily. She knows everything you do because the woman in your life is you.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Women's Spaces. My name is Elaine B. Holtz, and I'm your host. And with me at the board is my friend, my partner, my engineer, and co-producer, Ken Norton. Good morning, Ken.
Good morning.
Wow, what a great day it is here in Sonoma County and all through California. I mean, what a beautiful day we woke up to. I have two special guests this morning. Joining me in the studio is Leslie Graves, who is a member of the steering committee for the Sonoma County 2020 Suffrage Project and coordinator for the Women's March, which will be happening before we know it in January. And I also have a special guest and a very special guest with me from Petaluma, Paula. Paula, pronounce your last name for me.
Freund.
Paula Freund, as she is planning with co-creator Catherine Reinhardt. And Catherine Reinhardt is the executive director for our genealogy center here in Sonoma County. And she's currently planning with co-creator Catherine Reinhardt an exhibition dedicated to telling the story of Petaluma's participation in the women's suffrage movement. Both of these women attended several events honoring the suffrage movement and are very involved in bringing the history of that era to our county. Really, I'm really so proud to have both of you in the studio. As you know, there are going to be many events celebrating the 100th anniversary of the 19th Amendment, which gave women the right to vote across the country. You know, a special reminder, we are over 50% of the population. And during the election that's coming up in 2020, I want to encourage all women to vote. You know, it's real interesting. Oftentimes when you're trying to encourage people to vote, they'll say, oh, my vote doesn't count. Well, you know something, there's been elections that have been lost by 10 and 15 votes. I mean, your vote counts. You know, that to me is a bunch of propaganda, and it's a way that they want to keep us away from the poll. It is very important that you vote. Being part of a democracy means that citizens have to participate. And when you've got 50% of the population that can vote, that's a lot of power. That's a big voice. So I really want to encourage women to make sure that they're registered to vote and that they do vote and pay attention. There is so much going on right now. I mean, with the impeachment and all the hearings, I mean, it is fascinating to me. I have learned more about government in the past 2 weeks than I knew before in my lifetime. That's how interesting that these impeachment hearings are. They're educational. You know, instead of taking one side or another side, why don't you just listen and wait till we hear everything that comes forward and then make our decisions? So it's very important that we pay attention and that we register to vote. And then when the time comes out, we get out there to vote. And not to forget, as women, we have a very big voice. And in my mind, every time you cast a vote, there's one question you have to ask yourself when you're voting for a candidate. Is that candidate going to guarantee the future of our children and our planet? Just ask yourself that question, and I guarantee you it's going to take you onto a road of discovery. Anyway, today is November 14th, and as I've been doing, I mentioned over and over, our herstory, our history is our strength. And several things happened on November 14th. Of course, today is November. I believe it's the 18th, but that's okay. You know, I try to find dates that are in between the show or within the time period of the show on Monday. So I was able to look at November 14th, 1889. Journalist Elizabeth Cochran, a.k.a. Nellie Bly, sails around the world in 72 days, 6 hours, 11 minutes, and 14 seconds. beating the fictional record set by Fiennes Fogg and Jules Verne around the world in 80 days. Very interesting. Well, congratulations to Elizabeth Cochran all the way in 1889. This woman sailed. It's just amazing. Another thing that happened, and this we're coming up, we're going from 1889 to November 14th, 1903. The U.S. Women's Trade Union League is established. So that means at that time in 1903, women were about, and we are starting to organize and starting to have trade unions for themselves. Amazing. And now here we are in 1946. In 1946, I was 6 years old. Emily Green Belch, co-founder of the Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, was awarded the Nobel Peace Prize. So when you start thinking about it, all the way in 1946, women were receiving prizes like this. And guess what? Most of us don't know our history. Every time I read stuff like this, I go, wow, that really happened. They've been active that long. Well, so many interesting things happened on November 14th. Well, what's interesting to me is November 14th, something very special happened to me. My granddaughter, Caitlin Beverly Jensen, was born. What a blessing that is to my life. And I'm telling you, there is nothing as special as a daughter or a granddaughter. My daughter's name is Susan, and she would whack me if I said how old she was. And I love them both. And happy, happy, happy birthday, Katie. I wish you a life full of many, many blessings, particularly good health, peace of mind, and loving relationships. Oh, it's so wonderful to have a granddaughter. Well, I have a few announcements to make. You know, we're a busy community here. We're a busy state. Let's put it that way. Let's see. Where's my my announcements? Okay. Oh well, I got the first announcement, and we're going to be talking about this with Leslie Graves, and that's going to be the Sonoma County 2020 Women's Suffrage Project Centennial Kickoff, and that's going to be happening on December 8th from 2 to 4, and it's going to be at the Saturday Afternoon Club. And I know that there was limited seating, and when we get to the segment with Leslie, I'm going to have her talk about that to see if there's still some room for other people. Oh, I found my announcement. Well, we've been having a sock donation drive. You know, socks. You know, you think about socks. They're having a sock donation drive. Well, what I found out is for many homeless people and for many people that are living on the edge, believe it or not, socks are very important. And they've been running this sock donation from October 14th, and it's ending on November 23rd. So if you want to donate, you go down to, there's the Casa Grande High School, the Aquas Cafe. Let me go through the list here. The Mail Depot on 40th on 4th Street in Petaluma, the Aquas Cafe at 189 H Street in Petaluma, also in Petaluma, the Casa Grande High School, 333 Casa Grande Road in Petaluma, the Downtown Association on Lakeville Street in Petaluma, and in Santa Rosa, the 180 Studio at 150 Todd Road in Santa Rosa, and also in Santa Rosa, the Vertex Climbing Gym and Arlene Francis Center on 96th Street in Santa Rosa. Now remember, all this will be on our website at www.womenspaces. So don't worry about it if you didn't get all the information, because that was a lot of information that I put forward. So that's going to be a sock donation drive, and go on www.womenspaces, and you will see all the different places and different that you can go ahead and drop off socks. And like I said, who would think socks are important? But during winter, I'll tell you something, if you don't have your socks, you're in big trouble, let me tell you. Okay, one last announcement that's happening on November 23rd, that Saturday. It's called Building Neighborhood Power. I love this. Santa Rosa Together. Santa Rosa Housing for All are having a meeting, and it's going to be on 35 Stony Point in Santa Rosa, and that's on Saturday, November 23rd from 9:30 a.m. to 1 p.m. And I think it's looking at your neighborhood and looking how we can improve it and work together collectively. It's very important to be a good neighbor. And, you know, one of the problems in the United States, this is very, very interesting, is most of the time we don't even know our neighbors. You know, it's wonderful when you have a neighborhood where everybody's coming out and gets to know each other. I mean, I'm very blessed. I live in a neighborhood, a very integrated neighborhood, the northwest side of town, and I'll tell you something, it's amazing. One last comment I want to make. You know, for the last few weeks, I've been kind of talking about women are not speaking out loud enough. So I did a little survey, and I surveyed the Press Democrat for the past month, and I also surveyed several of the talk shows that are on the radio for at the same time period. And I found out that more men call in to talk shows and write letters to the editor than women. So we need to kind of step up to the plate and start doing that. And it's really interesting. It's interesting when you think about it. Another way to have your voice is to call in or write in. Anyway, lots to think about, and we're going to take a musical break now. You know, what I try to do when I pick the musical breaks, I try to keep it within the context of what we're talking about. And right now we're talking about suffrage, we're talking about the past, we're talking about the present, and we're trying to talk about the hope for the future. So this song to me is very, very interesting when you listen to the words. And like we always do, every show, we listen to every song. Why? Because each song has a message, and I need to remind people about that. Okay, so we're going to take a musical break, and we are going to listen to We Are the Women, sung by Betsy Rose and the Women's Chorus. And remember, as women, we have a lot of power. And the time has come for us to go to the polls. And along with that, to stop being so shy, start writing letters to the editors, start calling in on talk shows. We need to get more and more and more involved. Why do I say that? Folks, our children's future is on the line. And we do make a difference. So here we go with We Are the Women. And when we come back, I will be talking with Leslie Graves from the 2020 Suffrage Project and coordinator for the Women's March, which will be happening in January. And Paula Fraun, currently she is planning the she's one of the co-creators with Catherine Reinhart, and an exhibition dedicated to telling the story of Petaluma's participation in the women's suffrage movement. Both of these women attended several events honoring the suffrage movement and are very involved to bring the history of this era to our country. So let's go ahead and listen to our song, and we will be back before you know it.
We are the women giving birth to tomorrow. We are the women who are present today. We are the women who know hope and sorrow. Women who act, women who pray, women whose wisdom will light the way. We are the women giving birth to tomorrow. We are the women who are present today. We are the women who know hope and sorrow. Women who work, women who play, women whose wisdom will light the way. We are the women giving birth to tomorrow. We are present today. We are the women who know hope. We are the women giving birth to tomorrow.
Whose wisdom will light the way. What a beautiful, beautiful line. For you just joining us, you are listening to KBBF 89.1 FM, Calistoga, Santa Rosa. I want to remind my listeners the opinions expressed here are not necessarily the opinions of KBBF, its board of directors, its members, and Women's Spaces. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Women's Spaces, and I'm your host, Elaine B. Holtz. And without further ado, I want to introduce my two guests joining me in the studio, Leslie Graves and Paula Freund. Welcome, ladies. Welcome to Women's Spaces. Let's say hello so people can hear your voices and identify. Say hello, Paula.
Good morning, and thank you for inviting me.
Oh, it's wonderful. I got to tell you a secret about Paula. She's such a generous woman. I mean, it just warms my heart when I think about it. When we had the movie Iron Jawed Angels, she decorated the room with these beautiful, beautiful yellow roses. Thank you so much for that, Paula. And Leslie, say hello to our audience.
Hello. It's great to be here. What a beautiful morning in Sonoma County. Thanks for having us.
Anyway, before we begin, I want to say a few words about each of you. Is that okay?
Certainly.
Okay. Paula Freund is a retired art historian living in Petaluma, California. She holds a master's degree in art history from Washington University in St. Louis and undergraduate degrees in art history and Spanish from Southern Methodist University. My goodness, Paula, I could have you on here interpreting for me sometime. That's amazing. In Texas, she worked as a curatorial assistant in the Meadows Museum and the Museum of Fine Arts in Dallas and taught art appreciation and art history in the junior college system. In 2010, she moved to Petaluma, joined the board of directors of the Petaluma Museum Association, and began curating exhibits for the community. Her most recent exhibit curated in 2018 is the Petaluma Historical Library and Museum, A Story of Civic Progress and Pride, was dedicated to Lucy Cordham. Who is Lucy Cordham, by the way?
Lucy Cordham is a scholar and an exceptional and wonderful member of the Petaluma community. She was known for her scholarship concerning Carnegie libraries, and because of her work, many Carnegie libraries were saved throughout California. And she also worked with her husband, Bill Cordham, who is known as the Dean of Environmentalism in Sonoma County, and what he did for our county as far as the environment is concerned was exceptional.
Amazing, Paula. Amazing. Currently, she is planning with co-creator Catherine Reinhardt. And Catherine Reinhardt, tell us a little bit about Catherine Reinhardt.
Catherine Reinhardt is a good friend and colleague of mine. I have tremendous respect for her. She's a Petaluma historian, very beloved in the Petaluma community. And she is the manager of the Sonoma County History and Genealogy Library.
Isn't that amazing? You know, I just want to do a shout out to the voters in Sonoma County that they voted to expand the library.
Yes.
And it was because of that that we're able to have this genealogy library. It's just amazing. And what she's working with Catherine on is an exhibition dedicated to telling the story of Petaluma's participation in the women's suffrage movement. Wow. Well, welcome. Welcome, Paula.
Thank you.
And Leslie has been a regular here on Women's Spaces. In fact, at the beginning of the month, she actually interviewed me. And Leslie Graves is a member of the Sonoma County 2020 Women's Suffrage Project Steering Committee. This is a year-long project to celebrate the centennial of the 19th Amendment and create programs which explore the complex history and continuing fight for the inclusion of all women. They are a chapter, you know, we are actually a chapter now of the California 2020 Women's Suffrage Project, which was created by the National Women's History Alliance, which is founded in Sonoma County, in order to support the 58 counties in California to create a celebration and educational opportunities for the public to engage in this historic moment. She is also, and I have to say, coordinator of the very successful Women's March here in Sonoma County, which is happening in January in downtown Santa Rosa. Welcome.
That's right.
Rose.
Just a couple months away. That'll be January 18th on a Saturday.
I mean, I can't believe it. You know, time just seems to be boom, boom, boom. Before you know it, here it is. We are at another Women's March. Well, welcome both you ladies. I mean, this is such an exciting time for us. You know, the fact that we're celebrating 2020, and we're also so many things. The Supreme Court, it might be looking at Roe versus Wade. All kinds of things are happening in this generation. What's so interesting is 2020, Ken and I will be married 20 years, and I'm going to be 80 years old. So, I mean, it's going to be a big celebration for me also. So let's start with you, Paula. You know, I've been going over your biography and thinking of all the things you did, and the one thing that I got stuck on is, what really is a curator? I have heard that word so many times. So why don't we start like that? What is a curator, and how, as a woman, did you get involved and interested in that?
That's a very, very good question, and it has a history. Originally, before computers, when I was a young woman and I was studying, a museum was a sacred space, and the curators were essentially the high priest and priestess of that institution. They were usually senior members of the community. They spoke and translated many languages. They held all the institutional knowledge of where they worked. It was a time when they didn't want the public in museums. It was a sacred place. They had to take care of these very valuable objects. They didn't want children in the museums. So those were, as I said, sacred priest and priestess of a temple of culture. That has changed tremendously today. Actually, the term curator in many museums is no longer utilized. They think the creation of exhibits and the care of the objects is basically a team effort. It's much more democratic, and that is reflected in the scholarship even today, which we can talk about in relationship to the suffrage exhibits. I think it's a healthier way to address it. It's opened museums to the public, and it's made exhibits more educational for the public.
Well, I know. I mean, I've been to several exhibits in Petaluma at their museum, and I have to say I am so impressed. In fact, I actually even hung two or three things that I had, some of my memorabilia that I was able to contribute to some of the women's exhibits. So, you know, it's very interesting, and talk a little bit about, you recently traveled to an exhibit that focused on the women's suffrage, which in 2020, as I mentioned, will be celebrating the 100th anniversary of the 19th Amendment. Tell us a little bit about that exhibit. What inspired you to go, and what did you find, especially as a curator? You know, I'm sure you have that little critical eye that you're really just looking to making sure all the things are in place. What was inspiring, and what inspired you to go?
I'll give you some quick background. Catherine Reinhart, who I'm co-curating the exhibit with, put out a message, because she's also the president of the Heritage Network in Sonoma County. The woman's amazing what she accomplished. And early in January this year, she sent out a message to all the historical institutions saying, what are you doing to celebrate next year? What are you planning to celebrate the centennial, the passage, and women's suffrage? And I received her email, and I thought, oh my goodness, the Petaluma Museum has to put on an exhibit. We have to get planning right away. I spoke with Catherine, and I said, do you think there's enough material concerning Petaluma history and its involvement with the suffrage movement to support a full exhibit? And she said, you know, I think there is. So I said, would you like to curate it with me? And she said, let's do it. So we put in our proposal to the Petaluma Museum Association, and we've scheduled the exhibit for June, July, and August of next year. And it will be held at the Petaluma Historical Library and Museum in downtown Petaluma, which was once the former Carnegie. And it's a magnificent building, and it's a wonderful, wonderful local history museum. So Catherine and I have been hard at work doing our research. And I found out that in Washington, D.C., there were going to be three exhibits, actually, and I'm referring to them as the mother exhibits for this 2020 suffrage celebration. At those three exhibits, I knew I had to go see them, because I would see state-of-the-art scholarship, I would see the finest displays available, I would see the new ideas on how to communicate this information. And I went, I spent 6 days in Washington, D.C., just recently came back a couple weeks ago, full of inspiration.
Well, I know that you said that there were three specific exhibits that you went to. What were the three? Can you kind of talk, say, what was number one, what was number two, and what was number three?
Well, I certainly had a favorite, and that was at the National Portrait Gallery, and the title of that exhibit was Votes for Women, Portraits of Persistence. I love that subtitle, Portraits of Persistence.
Well, I like the word persistence, because persistence is what gets us all where we want to go, let me tell you.
And it's what they, it's how they got the 19th century, the 19th Amendment passed, ratified. They say it was 72 years that it took women to get the 19th Amendment ratified, three generations of women.
Let me ask you a question before we go forward. When you watched, you were here to watch Iron Jawed Angels. Were you surprised when you saw what actually went on?
It was a bit sad for me because I realized the earlier suffragists who were more, shall we say, ladylike in their request for the vote from the men who were going to vote it in. They set precedents, they established the foundation for the movement, but it wasn't until Alice Paul and the Iron Jawed Angels, who were more militant, who were more insistent, who were more strident.
More persistent.
They continued, exactly, where they were actually able to ratify the amendment.
That's why I just like to throw that in, because oftentimes women do not know. You know, they think of this, all this prim and proper, having a cup of tea or just going out, and they don't realize how militant women had to become, and also that we only got the vote by one vote, which to me is still stunning. So go ahead, continue. What was that? Continue talking about that exhibit. I didn't mean to take you off track.
No, certainly. So it was at the National Portrait Gallery, and it was the most elegant, the most scholarly and traditionally displayed exhibit. It was really beautiful, and it had a genre which is among my favorites, and that is the old photographic portraits of the women from the 19th century. And I must say, in the Now Suffrage catalog, on the top pictures, you have selected many of those old beautiful portraits of the first generation suffragists. And I love it when you open it up to the month of January, and there is Alice Paul in her cap and gown with her mesmerizing eyes glaring out at you. It is a beautiful, beautiful portrait of Alice Paul that you've used in that catalog. And by the way, the calendar is absolutely exceptional.
Let me just fill in my listeners on what you're talking about. The
Please.
National Organization for Women, our Sonoma County chapter, produced the 2020 centennial calendar for the county, which is very, very exciting. So that's what you're talking about. And the first page we open it up to, there's Alice Paul. And the last page is the Women's March in full color here that Leslie, actually, I have to do a shout out for Leslie when she did this Women's March. It was so amazing. And then all of a sudden, in the middle of everything, she comes running, takes this one picture, the only picture that we have of the parade, of the march, where we have the banner going, and that's in the catalog. So go ahead. Did you want to say something, Leslie? I think you're burning to say something.
No, I love listening to Paula. I love the fact that you were able to go to Washington, D.C. I'm so jealous to see these different exhibits, and there's so many exhibits that are happening across the United States. But it's true, the mother of all exhibits, and many of the exhibits are happening in Washington, D.C., and so it's a great travel destination. I hope to maybe make it throughout sometime in 2020, because they are going on throughout the year.
Let's go together.
Oh, there you go.
Let's go together.
There's an idea.
No, I'm serious. Let's go to Washington. Are you going to make a commitment? I'm telling you, I'm going to look to see to get the money. I want to go. I want to see those exhibits. Okay. You
there
got
you
a
go.
Date, Leslie?
Ah, there's a challenge right there.
Go ahead. Continue, Paula. You're a troublemaker.
I'm a troublemaker. Oh, I think we have something in common, Elaine.
Right.
Well, anyway, thank you for creating that calendar. It combines now and then and local and national in a really creative format. Rebecca Dwan was the designer.
Right.
And on the cover, you put Benjamin Dowell's image. And that image is from the 1913 women's procession. They didn't call it a parade. They called it their procession.
Oh, a procession.
Yeah, isn't that interesting? Those early suffragists were very precise with the terms they used. It wasn't a parade. They weren't celebrating. They were demonstrating. So it was was their procession, and the front cover of your calendar is their program for their procession, and it was a beautiful, beautiful choice by your designer. Anyway, so the exhibit at the National Portrait Gallery was exceptional. It was beautiful, and accompanying it was a magnificent catalog, a book in book form, beautiful book. And
I understand as far, maybe Leslie can attest to this. I think the program is, they're going to be creating a booklet for Sonoma County.
I don't know that for sure quite yet.
Oh, okay.
I know the National Women's History Alliance has booklets that they did celebrations around 1911 and the California ratification of the vote and the 100th centennial of that. Of course, there might be time for us to do something as well.
No, but at least we know the National History Alliance. If you just go National History Alliance, you can pick it up on the computer. And I'm sure, I know she has some wonderful, wonderful historical books. So that's good to know. So go ahead, continue.
So that was my favorite exhibit. The other one was at the National Archives. It was entitled Rightfully Hers, American Women in the Vote. And it's an exceptional exhibit for the public. It presents the material in a really clear and concise way through a question format. So each gallery answers a question. It starts with what voting rights struggles persist. That's what it ends with, excuse me. Who decides the vote? And then the last question that they address in the last gallery is what voting rights persist? It was really a brilliant strategy to be able to present a very complicated subject to the public. And it was very much of a hands-on display. It even had a voting booth you could enter.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so it was an exceptional exhibit. And then the final exhibit was at the Library of Congress. And the title of it was Shall Not Be Denied, Women Fight for the Vote. It was the smallest of the three exhibits. It took more of a traditional chronological approach. It emphasized Seneca Falls as the beginning of the tradition, which the National Portrait Gallery took exception to. It was interesting to see the scholarship differ there. So they were all very inspirational.
So here you go. You see these three exhibits, which just sound wonderful. I mean, I remember when I was in Washington, D.C., and I just had a moment to go to the Smithsonian and see the Holocaust Museum, and I couldn't believe how much information was there. So I can just imagine what you saw with these three exhibits. What did you walk away in relationship to doing the exhibit that you're going to be planning with Catherine Reinhardt? What did you walk away from the exhibits of Washington? How did that help you and our community?
They were highly inspirational. The final video at the Library of Congress exhibit, I'm going to try to get permission to loop it at the Petaluma exhibit. The video tells the story of the suffrage movement from the viewpoint of modern women and modern political women. It begins with Texan Barbara Jordan, one of my favorites, because I was in Texas for a while. It includes Geraldine Ferraro, Hillary Clinton, on and on and on. It was so inspirational, brought tears to my eyes. And it's something that I hope to loop and get permission to do so.
In listening to that video, was there, again, the word persistence, I'm sure, came up constantly.
Yes, yes.
Because these women definitely persisted.
They persisted, and once the 19th Amendment was ratified, there was still a lot more work to do. And that the exhibit at the National Archives pointed that out, that even though it said you could not deny people the right to vote on the subject of sex, it did not allow the ability to vote to all people in the United States. There was still a lot more work to do, and these modern politicians have been to work on that and on certain issues, for instance, the right of the people in Puerto Rico to vote, the right of people between 18 and 21 years old to vote, which was the 26th Amendment during the time of the Vietnam War. Boys could go to, men could go to fight, but they couldn't vote, so they changed that. The American with Disabilities Act, which said polls must have access to people in wheelchairs. So a lot of things were done to expand the vote.
You know, I want to comment something here. You know, I mean, there's been lately what's been going on. We've heard comments like the Constitution is not that important, or it's really not as good as everybody says, you know, with all the impeachments and some of the negativity that's coming out. And, you know, you need to remind people, you know, when you just listen, you know, our forefathers wrote a constitution which was not perfect. But what the perfection of it is that changes can be made. People can protest. People can put things on the ballot and we can vote on it. Right now, I know there's a group working in Sonoma County with the IOLERO, you know, with the oversight committees. They want to vote on it to make sure we have solid oversight committees. Our Constitution allows people to go out, to get signatures, to put things on the ballot, to run for elections. It's not a perfect document, but it's a document that's flexible, that can make changes, that can improve our life and our lifestyle. And people need to understand that. And, you know, it's very interesting, too. I want to put something in about the Constitution as you're talking about these changes that are happening. I've been watching a lot of the news forecasters, and they've been talking about when you raise your hand and you make a commitment, you make a vow to protect the Constitution of the United States. I took that vow when I was on the Human Rights Commission. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you something. I brought my family there. When I raised my hand, something happened to me. Something came over me that I thought that I was promising that every word that I spoke would be defending the Constitution of the United States. And that was a proud moment for me. And any elected official that does not honor that Constitution, as far as I'm concerned, does not deserve to hold a seat.
Without rule of law, we have tyranny.
That's right. We have nothing. We have nothing. And people need to understand that. And I think that is the most important thing about the suffrage movement, is to recognize that when we came into this country, women had no rights whatsoever. We didn't even have the right to own property. But through a series of events and a series of however long it took, the same thing with civil rights. No matter how long it took, we still could get there because we had the Constitution behind us. I just had to throw that in. Well, now, is there any last words you have to say about it? Because I want to get into the fact that you and Leslie went to Sacramento, and I want to find out, how was that different? Did California do as good as Washington, D.C.? So any last words about Washington, my friend?
One quick last word is that with the scholarship, there have been many issues, and this ties into the definition of curator, many issues about not including information about minorities within our culture. And the suffrage movement and the scholarship on it suffered from that. Recently, with all this scholarship going on, all those minorities and all that information about their contributions has been included. And all three of those exhibits have been very vigilant in including and being inclusive about the minority contributions to the women's suffrage movement. And I am very proud to say that Faith Ross and Gloria Robertson of the Petaluma Blocks for Community Development will be commemorating Black History Month with an exhibit at the Petaluma Historical Library and Museum before Catherine's and My Suffrage exhibit is on display. Faith's exhibit will be entitled Remember, Educate, and Celebrate, and one of the themes will be the Black Suffragists. So I'll be working closely with Faith to make sure that our exhibits complement each other and that I'm well informed about the contribution of Blacks in the Petaluma community to the suffrage movement.
Well, I want to add something. Since you talked about the calendar here, one of the things, a little secret about the calendar, when we decided we were going to do it, as president, I said, I will not be involved unless I have a full page of Ida B. Wells. She was my hero. She really was. I mean, Ida B. Wells was a reporter, you know, for a national newspaper, and reported on lynchings and went into the South and took care of that. I mean, it was just amazing.
And we heard her great-granddaughter, Leslie, report.
That's right. Michelle Duster, her great-granddaughter, was at the event that we were at on November 8th at the California Museum in Sacramento, in which California was celebrating the ratification 100 years ago of the 19th Amendment and being the 18th state to make that ratification on November 1st, 1919. Michelle Duster was absolutely lovely. I do have to say that she does look like her great grandmother, Ida B. Wells.
We got to get an interview.
And And she is a great educator and writer. She just recently wrote and edited a book with Michelle Obama, and I was able to meet her and talk to her just the tiniest bit. So inspired to see her there, and you just really realize how much history not only affects us from 100 years ago, but is present. History is being made right now and today.
Where were you? Where was the exhibit in Sacramento?
So that was at California Museum in downtown Sacramento, and it was part of the commission, the 2020 Commission on Women's Suffrage in California. Actually was presented by our California first partner, Jennifer Siebel Newsom. And that, yes, that is correct. Her husband is Gavin Newsom, our governor here in California. And she put on a lovely event with the rest of the commission, and it actually had a traveling exhibit from one of the exhibits that you saw in Washington, D.C., I believe that you said, right?
Yes, the exhibit at the California Museum was part of it, was the pop-up exhibit from donated by the National Archive exhibit.
So how did you feel in comparison to the two? How did you feel California did?
They emphasized, you know, what California did as far as the women's suffrage movement, which was really appropriate, and work had been done by the California State Archivist to augment the National Archives pop-up exhibit. So it was well done.
And the event was just lovely. The event was really, really well done on November 8th as well. And that was the Votes for Women event. And that pop-up archive exhibit will be at the California Museum through next year as well.
Well, it's very interesting. So I want to ask you both a question. As women, just as two women, you know, you going to Washington, you know, I mean, we started off here, our first film was with Iron on Jawed Angels, and then we kind of moved out, and now you went into Washington, and you're getting all this information, and you, Leslie, going to Sacramento. What, as women, what did it bring out in you? What rose for you? What happened for you seeing all those things?
Well, for me personally, not only the fact that other women are so influential and affect so much that I do and I am inspired by them, but also realizing that I myself might have an effect on others and really honoring that responsibility and carrying that weight and being charged with that responsibility. I feel like I am vested to bring that back to Sonoma County to make sure that Sonoma County women and men have every opportunity to participate and to be involved in knowing and acknowledging what the importance is of suffrage, of the freedom to vote, and also, like you were saying, include the diversity of women and men in that. Our suffrage project definitely wants to focus on including more people in the right to vote in 2020.
I just want to, you know, oftentimes, because this is a women's show, you know, oftentimes the issue of men comes up, you know, for me particularly, do I like men, you know, or am I against men? You know, I'm very happily with a beautiful man who sits beside me every Monday morning to make this show happen. But people need to be clear that there were many, many men that participated in the suffrage movement. Not all men. There are many men that are very powerful and very positive as far as women go. But there is a body of men that sometimes we look at that we wonder why they're trying to put some of the issues or some of the restrictions on women.
I'm going to speak to that right there, because you were talking earlier about November 14th and some of the historical events that took place on that date. And just really quickly, I looked up November 18th. In 1869, actually, an important note here, the American Women Suffrage Association was formed on November 18th, 1869, by Lucy Stone and Henry Blackwell. So there's a gentleman right there. Men were organized, and they were organizing as activists. Lucy Stone and Henry Blackwell formed the American Women Suffrage Association, and they worked exclusively for women's suffrage, focusing on amending the state constitutions. So November 18th is a very important date in our suffrage movement. And November itself, as I was just saying, California ratified the 19th Amendment and became the 18th state to ratify it, on its way to being ratified by 36 states and becoming constitutional law in August of 1920. So that's why we are talking about it right now, because we're coming up on that centennial in 2020.
Not only that, it looks like 2020, we may have the ERA amendment. I mean, that is going to, I mean, if that happens, that's going to be, I can't believe, I mean, to my listeners, if someone can write me and tell me, how did this happen? It took almost 100 years for women's to get equal rights in the Constitution. I mean, that is just amazing to me. Well, we're about to take a musical break again, and it just fits in perfect with what we've been talking about, because the song I'm going to be playing is sung by, where's my song? Okay, it's the Blood of the Ancients, and it's sung by Betty Rose and the Women's Chorus. So it's very important, the Blood of the Ancients, because the blood of our sisters, I mean, they left us a legacy, and that's what we're celebrating. We're celebrating this legacy. So pay attention to the song, and when we come back, we will be continuing our conversation about the suffrage movement and all the great exhibitions, and we'll be talking more about Sacramento, and also talking about the upcoming kickoff that we're going to be having here in Sonoma County to start celebrating the 100th anniversary since women got the vote. So let's go ahead and listen to the Blood of the Ancients. Future is in our hands. Amazing. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Women's Spaces, and I am your host, Elaine B. Holtz. And with me in the studio is Leslie Graves, a member of the steering committee for the Sonoma County 2020 Suffrage Project and coordinator of the Women's March. And also, I have with me Paula Freund, and she is currently is planning with co-creator Catherine Reinhardt an exhibition dedicated to telling the story of Petaluma's participation in the women's suffrage. And now we're going to talk a little bit to Leslie. We're going to talk about the up-and-coming kickoff that's happening on December 8th, which I know is going to incorporate all that we are talking about, except we're not going to have all these beautiful exhibitions, but we will have some wonderful things there. So go ahead, talk about
definitely.
It. Give us a little background on this kickoff, Leslie. What is it about, and why was it planned, and what is the purpose of it?
Yeah, the Sonoma County 2020 Women's Suffrage Project Centennial Kickoff on Sunday, December 8th, from 2 to 4 o'clock at the historical building of the Saturday Afternoon Club, 430 10th Street, is meant to just kick us off for a whole year of celebrating. We also want to educate and remember that although women did get the right to vote with the 19th Amendment, it did not remove the practices of discrimination and suppression of the vote, especially for women of color, for indigenous women, and for people nowadays that are trans or non-binary identifying. So our program with our project is going to focus a lot on that and bring more people into civic engagement. But we wanted one event, a short 2 hours, trying to fit it all in, to kick it off and to really make a statement that we are dedicating ourselves to this mission of bringing it to Sonoma County and working with all of our collaborating organizations, which is now totaling up to a couple dozen organizations, museums, historical societies, and other organizations of light. We do have a panel of speakers, and I am proud to say that Molly McGregor, the co-founder and the executive director of the National Women's History Alliance that we work closely with, will be on our panel, as well as earlier mentioned, Faith Ross from the Commission on Human Rights here in Sonoma County and Petaluma Blacks for Community Development, and also co-curating that exhibit at the Petaluma Museum in February for Black History Month, as well as Stephanie Manieri, and Stephanie is a board member of Santa Rosa City School District, and Vince Harper, that's right, a gentleman is going to be on our panel. He is the one of the directors at the Community Action
Partnership. One of my favorite men.
That's right. That's everybody's favorite, right? He does a lot of civic engagement out in our areas of like Roseland and things like that in order to bring more people into the process of our community.
Well, we will have all that information on www.womenspaces.com. I will be there. We will have calendars. There's going to be many, many people, many organizations are going to be tabling and passing out information. Excellent, excellent speakers that will be there, and I'm very excited to hear from Molly. And we're coming to the end of the program, so any last words, Paula, very quickly.
Very quickly. December 16th at 7 o'clock at the Sonoma County Library, Santa Rosa. Sally Raish Wagner will be speaking, and she's one of the great suffragist scholars. And thanks to Catherine Reinhart, she will be coming. Catherine Reinhart has organized a whole program of three or four different contemporary suffragist scholars to come to Sonoma County. And as I said, December 16th at 7 o'clock.
Again, it'll be on the website. How about you, Leslie? Any last words?
Yes, definitely. For that December 8th kickoff, I know you asked, how can folks come? Our RSVPs are at capacity, but we are looking for volunteers. And if you go to our website at socowomen2020.org, you will see information in order to become a volunteer and help us out, and you get front row seating.
And I will be there with my beautiful granddaughter who just had a birthday, Caitlin. We will be tabling, and I'm really looking forward to it. Well, thank you so much, ladies, for being with me. And, well, that's it for our show. Thank you, Leslie Grave, member of the Steering Committee for Sonoma County 2020, and for Paula Froen, who is a curator there in Petaluma. Thank you so much for being on Women's Spaces. Remember, our children are the future, and we must never lose sight of that.
She knows everything you do because the woman in your life is you. Because the woman in your life, the woman in your life, the woman in your life is you.
The previous Women's Spaces show was recorded on Monday, November 18th, 2019.